This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Baseball present. Baseball past. Share some stories. Share some laughs. You're gonna have a blast if you listen to the Agenda Podcast.
Hi, hello, and welcome to the big ballpark by the river. Yes, indeed. It's the Jim Day Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hey, quick little shout out, and that goes to we've got a YouTube thing going now. It's called Extra Bases with Jim Day. Look on the Reds YouTube channel or just search Extra Bases with some nerd on YouTube, and we take you behind the scenes, sort of like we do on this podcast. It's kind of a, I don't want to say a video version. It's different than a podcast, but it's behind the scenes stuff. So check it out, Extra Bases on YouTube. We're going to take a couple extra bases today because we've got a dynamic duo, the dynamic duo on Bally Sports, Ohio. That would be Brian Gesinslaw, former Reds pitcher Sam LeCure. You can catch Brian Gesinslaw as the host of the pre- and post-game show. You can catch Sam on those shows. You can catch Sam in the booth during certain games. You can catch Sam around the ballpark. You can catch Sam at local establishments. You can catch Sam on highlights on YouTube. You can check him out in the archives of Reds history. Goodness. That was a big build-up.
That's
right,
a lot
there.
Of checking me out.
Saying Sam gets around a little bit.
Gets around a little bit, yeah. Wow.
I preferred a little different verbiage, but yeah, something like that.
Well, in a good way. We mean it in a good way.
Okay.
How you guys doing? What's going on? Welcome to the podcast, Brian. Sam, you've been here before.
Yeah. This is good. No, appreciate the invite. It's quite the honor.
No, I don't know about all that.
To be on the Jim Day podcast.
Yeah.
I sit next to Sam every day, but getting to sit here with you is kind of a big deal.
I don't know. How's this chemistry working out? You guys have a great show, by the way, and great chemistry. How's it working out? Are you getting along?
That's the simple way to put it. Yeah. No, I love it, and I think from early on that was the good thing about it is I used to bother Sam in the clubhouse all the time.
Yeah. Likewise.
I still owe you for all the dips that you removed to do interviews with me. I probably owe you
Isn't that the worst thing? You're like, you have to apologize to a guy like, man, I'm sorry you got to take your dip out.
He always made me feel, you made me recognize the fact that you were doing something to accommodate me.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of like that sometimes, so that's good. But no, the chemistry was easy because, you know, Sam having not done a whole lot of this before, he sat down and started doing it with you and with me and everybody else here. I think the chemistry stems from, in any situation, just being true to yourself and being yourself.
Right.
And I know Sam is never going to be anything other than himself. And kind of once we kind of figured
That's
out how
good
sitting.
Thing.
Yeah.
We don't want fake Sam. We want Sam.
No. And I don't want fake anybody. I don't want to be fake, you know, Geese either. But it kind of meshed pretty quickly that, you know, we're very different. We obviously have very different roles on the show, but I think we kind of found that rhythm maybe quicker than I have in the past with some other folks. So that was always, to me, encouraging from the start.
Awesome. How's it been for you, man?
I think it's been great. Brian's obviously pretty easygoing and accepting of all the the Sam LeCureisms and figures out when I'm cranky pretty quick and tries to reel me in. And like he said, just spending time, you as well, Jim's getting to spend time with you guys in the clubhouse. There's a familiarity there that makes it easy to get into it. And I think just like I would tell any of the young rookies for the Reds coming up right now, I actually talked to a guy earlier. He's like, what's one piece of advice you'd give? Don't be afraid to ask questions of guys who've been there and experienced it because they've experienced everything you're about to experience. So I wasn't afraid probably to almost to the point of annoyance to ask Brian a bunch of questions. And you too, Jim. I mean, you know that it was, you know, maybe not every day or something, but I wasn't afraid to ask a question because I know I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't, but I have Brian there. But Brian understands, you know, maybe my strengths and weaknesses at this point, and he doesn't really have any, but I feel...
Strengths or weaknesses?
Blank is anyway. You don't have anything according to
I don't
to
have anything. But he kind of recognizes that, and I'm comfortable in the fact that he's kind of going to take care of me, so maybe that's a lot of pressure on him, but take care of me when, you know, I may be off a little bit, but I feel like at this point we've established a pretty good rhythm to be able to get through it and recognize, you know, I can look at him and understand it's maybe time to shut up or whatever it is.
Rapport.
Yeah. There you
just,
go.
It takes just a look.
Yeah. Corky told me the other day, he said, you know, with certain guys, with Sam or somebody, I had these nonverbal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing, pitcher, catcher.
Right. Exactly. We've done this enough now that I can look at you and you can look at me. We know where we're going.
And I know what pitch you want me to throw.
Exactly.
I want to go back to something you said. I haven't noticed. Are you cranky sometimes?
Shut up, Jim. Next question. Yeah, I am.
What about the Samisms? What are those? Do you?
I mean, just the crankiness.
No. Early on, people ask us a lot, what's the bell for? You know, we have a little bell, kind of like from a diner. And I think Don Johnson actually brought that in. He brings lots of things in that prove useful from time to time.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they ask us, and it was only there because once we got going, if Sam said something or if I said something, and we just, if it was funny or if it needed emphasis or if we just needed an out or we needed something. And the bell is whatever we want it to be at that time.
I love it.
And
because you'd like to have a drum,
yeah, something like that.
Little drum,
something like that. And so, yeah, when we start, what I like is, you know, we know when it's time to, you know, talk baseball and talk what's going on the field, and then the rest of the time, I feel like what our show is, both pre and post, it's not the game broadcast. It's not. It's not that serious. We'll be serious when we need to, but it's got to be the table setter for the game or the dessert after the game where people can relax a little bit and enjoy the other parts of the game that they don't have time to do, you know, during play-by-play. They still have fun in the booth, and there's time to breathe in a baseball game. We all know that. But pre and post, let's hit the things we need to hit, and then let's just kind of have it be kind of a communal conversation.
Better brings a personality to the table, or it's boring to watch. So, you guys do a good job with that. And you're in two different – vastly different environments. Road games, you're in the studio. There's, you know, it's quiet. There's not much going on. At home, it's a whole different animal. How's the condo?
Well, you created that mess down there.
Yeah, appreciate I didn't create that. Anything.
Who named it? Okay. Enough.
Enough said.
Exactly.
Well, it was, no, they put a drink rail around that set. And I've told this story before. Because we wanted to create something where the fans could get enough, you know, eyeballs on. When we first started, it was just a camera on me, and I'm like, we need to show these people standing around. So let's get another camera over here, and let's go around and put as many. Let's make it a destination spot in the ballpark. Then they put the drink rail up, and it took like two innings for people to realize, well, we can beat on this thing.
Exactly.
Boy, they were on it last night.
Yeah, so it gets quite loud. Yeah. The different environments are a lot to deal with, right?
I would say there's things I like and dislike about them both. I'd say in the studio, it's a more controlled environment a little bit. As far as just, you know, kind of some peace and quiet, and you can focus on the game. We have our own spot to go there in the studio versus here. It's kind of revolving door as to where we go.
Nice way
but
to put it.
What I don't like about up there is sometimes, you know, certainly like in the month of April, not a whole lot to get energized about. And it was hard. It's hard to kind of create energy up in that space. Down at the ballpark, on the opposite, we've got to kind of move around and be in somebody else's space during the game. But win or lose, there's energy down there, and that's not a problem to try to create. So I like being able to put my eyes on the field and smell the grass, and so there's a different vibe as far as that goes. So I'd say I certainly prefer it down at the ballpark. But there's sometimes I like some peace and quiet, and it's nice to get it up there. So nice to have some balance.
Sure, and just like you guys, you know, the travel kind of breaks it up for you. Being in one place too long for us. Sometimes the studio is kind of a refuge. Yeah. And there's a fun part of that too, because the crew that's is with us. Yeah. And so it's we're all together. Whereas here at the ballpark, they're in the truck, we're somewhere else. And so there's that part of it. But what has been created at the ballpark, and I've heard some of the people that we work for mention this, that other regions have asked about how we created that environment down there for pre and post game. That's what everybody wants. You know, people come to the ballpark, and whether they hang out around the drink rail or not, they come by, they know what it is. They know what happens there, and they're kind of drawn to it. And that's the energy that you need on a pre and a post game show. And I think that's the selling point. It's a live sporting event, and that's the energy that you feed off of there. But whether it's, you know, people have tried to recreate that. The drink rail was magic, but you can't always create the drink rail within the right spot. And that's the perfect spot because we have a great view of the field. It's not in anyone's way, but it's there and it's a place to gather. And I hope that never changes because I think that's pretty key to what we do at the ballpark.
I don't think it's going to change. The mistakes I've seen others trying to recreate it is that they put the crowd behind the set.
Exactly.
And I tell them, like, no, that's completely distracting because you've got, you know, Joe Schmo sitting there waving, another guy on his phone, hey, do you see me? And it's completely distracting. So the way we did it, again, adding that camera was the big key to show them when we want to show them. And it's not distracting the viewer. And you've got a beautiful backdrop of the stadium. So other regions have made the mistake of putting the crowd behind them. Not a good idea.
No.
So not a good idea. All right. You guys are sort of like I don't want to say a married couple, but you do talk about wardrobe. You have to plan
more than I do with my wife.
You have to plan wardrobe.
Me too.
Right? can you take us through this planning of wardrobe? Do you call each other? Do you email? Do you text? Do you?
Let me set that up real quick, and then I want to hear
explain why. Because people are like, "Wow."
Here's when we first started this, and we wanted to create, you know, kind of the atmosphere that we had in our heads, and wanted to have fun. Both of us. I don't necessarily like the navy blue debate team sport coat with the gold buttons. I never have liked that.
Goodness gracious, that's what I'm wearing today.
Well, I don't like
it. That's the truth.
I feel like when you have something on, it, you know, it says something about how you feel or who you are, or all those things. And so both of us within our closets had a few what we might call non-traditional sport
some
coats.
Patterns on there.
Yeah,
some
colors.
Loud, some color. Loud. I like it. You guys are right on the cutting edge of looking good. I don't know, but maybe cutting edges, but you're looking good.
But it was
not
part
just
of the
traditional, like you said, like what I'm wearing tonight. I'm Nerd Central tonight.
Well, it was part of the fun of what we had. We had fun with what, but we were reminded and certainly are aware now that maybe at times if both of us we're feeling a certain way or wearing a certain thing, maybe that's not the best way to go. And so now, we kind of, it's your night or my night, your night
one
or my night.
One guy can be loud, the other guy has to be conservative that day. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. We got a couple emails about it, and, you know, it was just kind of accidental that, you know, who'd have thought that, I mean, it was opening day, I don't know, maybe last year.
And I thought we looked good.
And we did, but we both somehow chose, like, and that was a new jacket that I'd gotten. It was kind of had purple to it, whatever. And I wore it up, and he wore, I mean, it was almost a clone of the jacket. Purple with stripe and whatnot. And
I think speaks to the fact that we both have good taste.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Hey, I said you guys are looking good.
I'd start bringing two jackets, a loud and a quiet. You know, so if he had one, then I, you know, just had the other. We haven't run into that problem, really.
No.
This I stopped doing that. We haven't run into it this year, knock on wood. But literally the first thing I do when either he or I gets there is I'll go look at what he's wearing.
Right.
I mean,
I love it.
So I immediately look back. We've got they're real similar
today. These are serious man problems here.
I know.
They're pretty similar today. But, I mean, whatever. Like it's, but they're both quietly similar.
Yeah.
The loudly similar, that's where we run into some
issues. But we've managed this like we've managed all the other, you know, getting to know you kind of things.
Right.
And I think we have it. But, again, we want to have fun. And we want to relax. And losing the ties, which when ownership
thank
change
goodness.
came for us, thank I think goodness. Losing the ties was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But we can still kind of create that atmosphere. And really, it's a visual medium. You turn on the TV, you see me before you probably hear me. And you form an opinion about Sam when you see him probably before you hear him. That's the initial That's the initial takeaway for the viewer, and we like to embrace that.
I don't know how I've gotten over that part where they see you first and then they hear you. I've somehow been able to survive all these
years. See, today we're safe. We could have just told you.
Well, that is, you know, when you go deep inside the game of baseball, the game within the game, folks, you just went inside the game within the game.
Of wardrobe.
Wardrobe on Bally Sports Ohio. It's a plan. They talk about it. They text. They email. All right. I think it was Sadak on the air. Said, good cop, bad cop. Describing you guys. What do you guys think of that, Sam?
I mean, duh. I mean, come on. You know, the Reds' home colors are red. You know, I mean, it's pretty obvious who's who. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. That's good. That's why I think, you know, we talk about balance and all the things balance that we do. And I think it's good to have that. Sometimes I'm going to fly off the handle a little bit because not that Brian doesn't feel it because he's invested in what this team does as well. Not only, you know, from a business standpoint, but from, you know, I mean, it's the team he's around. He's invested in these players, spends a lot of time with them. I feel it a little bit differently because I go through it. So sometimes, you know, like the other day, I flew off the handle a little bit and he's going to let me do that for a moment, you know, but also return it to good vibes desk and like, all right, come back in. Like you said, your little piece. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but, you know, I always feel like for my goals for all these games is to go in there and try to make the team sound so good that the people want to turn us off and come to the ballpark. Like that's my feeling because I know what the energy of a crowd does at the ballpark for a team. So I want them to cut us off. I want us to have the lowest ratings in, you know, in baseball because I want people showing up at the ballpark.
Right.
So I don't want to them to turn it on and listen to me just rag these guys, because especially because I know the game's hard. I'll rag them on effort, but aside from that, so I'm okay to be the bad cop a little bit when it's warranted.
But that's the relationship of knowing your role, knowing your strength. You know, he's been there and done that. I haven't, so he can speak to some things and certainly say some things. That's the whole point of a former player or manager as an analyst. You can speak to things that I don't know. But I look at myself like I think most good hosts would, is just keeping everything on the rails, directing traffic, and then making sure that I set him up to be the best at what he's best at. DJ says be great at what you're good at. Derek Johnson, the pitching coach. I want him to be great at what he's good at on TV. And you know what he's good at? He's good at being honest. He's good at being fair. And I want to get him to those places. And so I know I can see when Sam's redlining a little bit, you know, and I know when things are on the brink. But I want to get him there, and I want to let him be Sam LaCure because that's what people like to watch and like to hear. And then, like you said, I don't have to rein him back in, but I have to know when it's time to turn the page and get to the next thing.
What are the hardest nights? I'm gonna throw this
you
out
know
there. Okay, it's a night when the bullpen gives it up. Got it. Just try not to go there. But, you know, being a former bullpen guy, he was in the bullpen, and I'm sure when other guys gave it up besides you, you felt it.
Sure.
And you're still that guy when the bullpen gives it up. Man, you're bumming, aren't you?
Oh, he still feels it.
Yeah, I mean, I do, and I don't know exactly how to put it into words. I don't feel like I – you know, coddle the bullpen by any means, but you're right, because the closer you get to the 27th out, the more magnified everything is. Yep. And that might be your one or two or third inning of the week, and you don't have it that day. And when you went in, you didn't know that you didn't have it. And by the time they scored the runs, you still didn't realize that you didn't have it. It just happens fast. And, you know, you're kind of the guy out there. That's why they call it the loneliest place on the field or in sports, is the pitcher's mound. So, that's going to happen a lot. It felt like it happened because it's the last thing you see. So I think it feels like it – you think it happens more often than it does just because it's the last thing in your mind, because it's the closest thing to the end of the game. You forget about, you know, the base running mistake in the second inning, or you forget about, you know, the balk in the fourth inning by the starting pitcher, or whatever the case may be. It's the freshest thing in your mind. Yeah. It's also probably the most common too. But, those are hard when you feel like – when you have the game in hand and you've got your guys lined up and it doesn't happen for you, and they feel it more than anybody for sure, because they know that they're like, man, we had a game, we blew it, there's really nobody else to point to but us. You got to wear it and you got to face the music, and have the short memory.
Is that when he's cranky?
I'm cranky when I haven't eaten.
He gets, yeah, but you. I'm glad you brought up the bullpen because, yeah, you asked me about Sam, rightfully so, like anybody who's been in that position would be, if you come into a game out of the bullpen and you don't throw strikes, if you start walking guys, that's when Sam starts to fall back to where you have that raw emotion about what that meant to you and what that still means to you.
Yeah.
And so what I think when we do the shows as a whole, but certainly in situations like that, is we would lose all credibility if we had any to start with. We would lose all credibility if we didn't acknowledge when poor plays were made or poor decisions were made and those types of mistakes happen. But at the same time, what he said before, and knowing that we are a team partner, you know, that means something too. And so we have to balance. So I think we found a pretty good groove of maintaining. You can't ignore the obvious. You can't ignore what happened to the mistakes on the field. And you have to say something most of the time, but we don't pile on. You acknowledge, you maybe offer some context for what you saw or some context for how you felt it went. And then we move on, and we don't move on to cheer the next piece of video or be a cheerleader for the rest of that segment, but you do bring it back around to perspective and where we are and doing this 150 something times a year. And you know, that gets tough. Yeah. But you know, we hear it from people. Well, oh, this was terrible. Why wouldn't you? You know, there is a balance there that I think we've done a pretty good job of finding where the line is.
Geese and Sam, I love these guys, and we'll get back to them right after this.
Chris Collinsworth here. My friends at Western and Southern are committed to making Cincinnati the best place to live, work, and celebrate life. That's why we proudly sponsor Ride Cincinnati, the region's premier cycling event dedicated to defeating cancer. Every rider-raised dollar goes directly to cancer research and care right here in our community. Join the ride. Change the story. To register, visit RideCincinnati.org.
Jim Day here. I've teamed up with Swift to talk about my favorite seasons, baseball and grilling, America's pastimes, where people come together to talk, to laugh, to revel in the joyous chaos of family, and the shared love of these beautiful words.
Play ball!
And let's eat! This baseball season, ask for Swift Meats at your local grocer.
Good food, good moments, one great meal. Come together with Swift.
What's been the biggest learning curve for you, Sam? Is we've talked a little bit about this when you're on alone, but particularly with the pre and post game shows, what has been the biggest thing, the biggest adjustment? Is it terminology in TV, maybe? Is it communicating what you want?
Run gold! I'd say sometimes just trying to find the right verbiage because, I mean, you guys know how I talk typically. There's not a recorder on, you know, so sometimes I get hung up when I want to say, you know, well, this guy's got shit for brains. Like, I can't say that. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't.
Just did.
Well, but this feels like a different deal.
And now you're making me bleep things out.
I know nobody listens to your podcast.
I've got to edit this and I've got to go search for a bleep.
It's the 22nd minute of the deal. I mean, how hard's that? You've been doing this for how many years? Come on, sorry. That's
Did
not
you
so
just
bad.
Put down my audience and saying
no.
That no one listens to this.
No, I was putting down the guy they listen to. Come on, Jim, just try to keep up.
I'm so used to that.
Just trying to be able to do the verbiage. I think still the timing when I want to like run off on a tangent, but I feel like I've gotten a lot better at that. For a while, I felt like I took the games home with me more now than I did as a player for a while. And that was something I kind of had to work on because I'd go home and I'm, you know, with 162 games, I go home and I'm thinking about, well, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? Like there wasn't a whole lot that I liked from that today. So it stuck with me longer than, okay, today was a game that we lost and I know what happened and you know, we'll come back and get them again tomorrow. So just not make it was weird that it almost felt more personal to me on this side of the mic than the other. So that's something that I continue to struggle with, just not letting it beat me up and understand the fact that I got a chance tomorrow to do another one and get better at some of the things I failed at. So just trying to make the mindset for this job the same as it was for my previous.
Does he give you grief like he gives me? You see, you're probably too nice for the guy. I'm an easy target. Does he? Do you give him the same grief that you give me?
No. Not because I've been witness to that. So it's not to that. Mostly Jim, because I don't engage the same way you do.
He doesn't poke me.
I don't poke the bear, do I?
Well, I didn't call myself the bear, but yeah, come on, Jim. But that's good. I mean, that's okay. You can have different. I mean, it's like a clubhouse with I think all the group with Tommy and the Cowboy and Barry and John. This whole group, right. You know, my new team.
Right.
Our team is that there's different personalities within the clubhouse, and you understand. You know, as you've started to recognize things about me, you, Jim. You know, and those other guys, you start to understand how you can talk to somebody and that they're not going to carry it with them. You know, it's all of a sudden because I tell you you're an idiot that day because I was cranky. Like, it's not something that's carried through the rest of the year. It was just like, Sam was in a mood that day or whatever it was. Or Jim was, you know, stuck in the 95 degree heat and humidity all day or whatever the case. So you just start to, for me anyway, you just understand that there's different personalities within a team.
Yeah. And by the way, I like our team a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, I like our team a lot right now. I think
there are some teams that don't get along. I've said this before on this podcast.
And that's why I would add that.
And broadcasters that just flat out don't like each other.
Right. And it's okay. But, you know, we're, like Sam said, we're all pretty different.
Yeah.
But I think we feel about as on the same page and together right now with the group that we have. I kind of wish we could spend more time together. I know you guys get to do that on the road some, but
I
like it.
You're kind of forced to on the road. You need dinner partners and all this, and
which
you're
is good.
Plane, you're
that's
on
the
buses. Yeah, no, it's very good. It's very good. And if you don't like each other, woo, you spend a lot of time together, certainly on the road. So, have you held back from, or have you heard from any players if that something you might have said that, and I want to combine that with you as a player. Did you get ticked off at broadcasters for things they would say?
Well, one, if those guys have said things to me about, hey, you're doing a great job, and sometimes that's, you know, a player or a coach, and I'm perplexed as to why they're watching the show.
Well, it'll be on in the clubhouse sometimes. It was on last night with the volume up.
Oh, is that right?
So you know.
maybe because there was a lot of good things to say, but I mean, that was never something.
It's a good night, so they had it up.
Yeah, that was never something that we did when I was playing. I never, I had no idea that was even a thing. So
I would have ripped you more.
And that's fine. There was a lot of times I probably deserved it, but I was maybe their spouses or whoever are kind of telling them, and that's fine.
That's
so,
probably the biggest one.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It is. So, no, I haven't really had any guys do the problem, but that's why I don't spend a ton of time down on the field. Like, I want them to know who I am and say hi to them occasionally, but like, I can't be their best friend and be honest, you know, with them. And which is why I don't beat them up about physical things. It's effort. And if I'm beating them up on there, then they know they probably should be. And it's a good like reminder. I'm not somebody they're around. And if they want to hate me about it, then that's okay. Like, that's not somebody I'm spending all the time around with. Did I hate broadcasters? When I would come out of games, I hated Marty when I was playing. I hated Marty. And because I'd come in after a game and the radio would be going on in the clubhouse and I'd hear him kind of dog somebody like this. And I'm like, number one, we're leading the division by 8 games. Okay? So what's your problem? And I didn't understand that. And I'm like, you can't be bagging on my teammates like that, dude. Like, you ain't never played. Like, I don't want to hear that. And I never heard him on me. It had nothing to do with me. He may have been the greatest guy in the world to me. And I appreciate that if he was. But I didn't like that part of it. Since then, I love Marty. He's not talking bad about anybody that I care about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, he and I get along great. But at the time, it's just a different mindset that you have. Like, you can't let somebody come into your, you know, clubhouse and create division. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to fight for your guys. So that's, you know, didn't really have anything. It could have been anybody, not Marty specifically, just that voice that was doing it. But now I feel like I've got pretty good feedback from those guys, and I'm not asking for it. But it makes me feel, you know, on a daily basis, more convicted in what I'm doing, that I'm kind of telling the truth and talking about the things that they want to hear talked about.
Yeah.
Not just some random banter.
Oh, we got honest Sam right there.
That's right. But that's good. But
that was a slice of honest Sam.
Right. But they respect where you're coming from and how you, Yeah.
What you've been there, done that.
You've done that, and I think you have a shared mindset down there, and you can say those things. But like I said, you can still respectfully say things that I would never say because it wouldn't come off nearly in the same way for the same reasons you just described.
Because he's got a number.
Right.
Of the Major League Baseball that is tattooed on your arm.
Right there.
19,757. Which I think is one of the coolest tattoos I've ever seen. Is that not a great idea? Now, what we're referring to, folks, if you look up the in Major League Baseball history, they have a list of all the Major League players. And you are listed under that particular number. Yep. That's the number that you came into the game with. I think that's so cool. I mean, because it is a – think about the long history of the game. And it's a small fraternity. It's a hard game. It's at the highest level of the game. And you played it at that highest level. You have a number.
It's a lot cooler than just putting 63 on.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to get a necklace that has like the thing that says 19757 on it, dude. 19 and half seven. Like, what do you got there, bud?
But you get some cubic zirconia.
Yeah,
it'd be fake. Sure. You know, no one will know. Mm-hmm. All right, take us through a typical day. Fans love to know how, because there's a misconception by some people that. They just think TV, you just flip a magical switch. What? Like, I'll say, yeah, I get to the ballpark about, 2 o'clock. So, what? You get there that early? You get hours before the game? I think you just flip a switch and TV magic happens.
Right.
Doesn't happen that way. Particularly for the game kind of produces itself. Mm-hmm. Pre-game, that's a different animal. It is 30 minutes. It's a blank slate. You've got nothing. You have to create something out of nothing. So what's a typical day for you guys?
By the way, people also still ask if we have a teleprompter.
And I got that a lot.
Right, right. And certainly, if you're in local TV.
Well, that's a compliment because when you don't have
exactly.
one, and for those that don't know what a teleprompter is, it's the words that are going up on the camera, and you're basically reading. You write scripts and you read.
Yeah.
None of that happens on Reds Live pre and post.
Yeah, I think.
Never.
The longer you do something, I think your preparation kind of evolves accordingly. I know, like most of us, when you first start doing this, and I remember when I used to fill in with you on the pre and post game show back before I was doing this full time. I was just working in local TV, and I was a wreck. I don't know if you remember this. But we would sit and we'd get the rundown.
I don't remember you being a wreck. Is it because you were doing it with me?
No, I think it came off okay.
Because
but
you're used to teleprompter.
It wasn't the teleprompter, okay. But doing a show, an unscripted show with someone else like you, I wanted to know, hey Jim, are you going to do this part or am I going to do this part? Are you going to do? And we'd go line by line, and I'd say let's just assign. I'll do the Jay Bruce VO, and then you throw to the sound.
Yeah,
I wanted to know.
Right.
Because that was where my head.
Which is fine. It's just fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But over the years, obviously. Yeah.
And it's different with an analyst now.
Right.
Because you're setting up, he's analyzing.
With us, it was just a conversation.
Right.
And there was a beauty to that, too, I think. But
anyway,
so you start thinking like that. And then when you've done the show now with an analyst and you've done it a lot, then you start thinking of the show as more of a conversation. But you have to make sure that the topics that our producer, Kent Dreamweaver.
We're spoiled, right?
Absolutely.
I haven't done anything else but this job, but he's freaking amazing.
Yeah. He knows people as well as he knows TV. He knows people, and that's good. But as it develops, we have to keep it on the rails. But back to your preparation or a typical day question, COVID, I think, made us all do a little bit more at home in the morning than we did before because there was a time when they didn't want us at the ballpark or the studio any sooner than we had to be.
Yeah.
And there was some benefit to that, I think. But now, if the clubhouse opens at, 2:40 for a 6:40 game, like you said, I get here right before that. I will have done something in the morning to kind of know where my head needs to be or know about the opponent that night. And then, we have a quick text with Dream to find out what we might need or want from the clubhouse in terms of pregame interviews for what we might use on the show. So we go in there. We do the David Bell availability every day. And then I try to – and this is another way that Sam and I are alike. I need to be alone. I'm too distracted.
Both of you guys.
Oh.
I noticed that during COVID where we were trapped in the studio – I was the bad guy because I would come into their little office and invade their space. And you're like, get out of here, nerd. I need some quiet.
Yeah.
And I'm not a very quiet person. So
yeah. I have to find a spot. I get too distracted if there's something going on. And if I really need to focus on something or read something or write something down, I kind of need to have blinders on. And so I find an hour at least before the pregame show where I can safely do that. And I know you pretty much do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I love, you know, being back in season. It's the daily routine of kind of working backwards. So the show starts 30 minutes before the game. Tonight it's a 6:40 game. That's a 6 o'clock show. I show up 3 o'clock, 3 hours before. Go put something here, go down, get the rundown. Go up, start writing my slate. You know, that's the first thing I do because that's kind of the meat of the show for me. And the more that I'm involved with it and the more games that I do, you talk about the evolution of your preparation. I don't have to do it as much. I know what the game, it's just one of those things. And you guys probably have it too, just watching the game and things stick with you. So I have a real good feel for what it is and what's happening the next day and where the focus is. So just trying to find a little nugget here and there, something that's interesting within the framework of the game. And try to keep it on that. I don't need to go down and get interviews with guys because I kind of have a pretty good idea what they're thinking. Which is another reason I don't feel like I need to spend a ton of time down there. But understanding that a lot of times when I say something on the show, it gets echoed by those guys. And again, something that makes me feel convicted that I'm doing a pretty decent job.
All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll be back right after this.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
I want to say something else that I'm proud of. In that, like I said, we want it to be fun and we want it to be a conversation, but I think that you and I both wouldn't be happy if there wasn't a level of intelligence and credibility to what we say.
Yeah.
And so I'm always pretty pleased when we talk about, oh, that was a good show, it was a good show, whatever. Or we talk to Dream. I want to walk away feeling like we didn't just say, well, the Reds won 14-8 last night and Graham Ashcraft threw really well. Let's have a few original thoughts that build on those obvious things and maybe offer a perspective or a nugget or a something that just shows that we're not, that we did do some preparation, that we didn't just walk up and do what everyone in the stands immediately saw and thought. And I think we've done a good job of that.
You watch a lot of video, Sam. Have you ever seen something, maybe the littlest of thing with a young pitcher where you're like, I'd really like to talk to him about this?
All the time.
Does it happen all the time?
Not all the time, but with regularity.
How often do you act upon it?
None. Because I don't want to go, because especially since I'm down on the field so little, I don't want to go down there and have, you know, Hunter Green, for example, I go down there and start telling him what he needs to do. Like, I watch him every time he throws. Like, I have my eyes on him, aside from bullpen sessions, you know, as much as anybody else around besides, you know, their coaching staff, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what he's working on in between starts. So for me to go down there and tell him, he's got enough information. People are trying to cram on him. And the time that I go down there to say hi, I don't want, oh, another guy trying to like put his mark on my career. No, that's not it. I always say, I'd like a week with that guy or that bullpen. I mean, I said it just the other day to a buddy. I was like, oh, man, like there's talent in this bullpen. And just seeing what I see, it's just a different set of eyes. It's like if you were sitting here doing a crossword puzzle and you got stuck and you walked away for it for a few minutes, you came back, something comes to you all of a sudden. Just different sets of eyes and what I'm looking for and what DJ's looking for or, you know, whoever the case may be. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's several of these guys where I feel like I could just give one, like say one thing and – it would make a big difference.
Is there one thing that is more than others? Like one particular thing? Not a person. I'm talking about a particular thing with pitching that you see that like, gosh, I wish they would.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Brian's pointing to his head.
I mean, that's the first thing. You kind of like they see us before they hear us type of thing. Like I see the demeanor and, you know, what they're doing on the mound versus like the 99 mile an hour fastball or whatever it is. So I can tell when a guy's rattled when he steps out there and how he's breathing and, you know, the jitteries that he has. I always think that guys want to are too afraid of the plate, you know, the 18 inches or whatever it is. And that was something I learned right away, is you got to get them out north and south. Like these guys, like once something comes out of your hand east and west, then they give up on it right away, and they want guy to chase a slider a foot off the plate. Like, it doesn't happen. They'll chase it a foot.
There's a lot more pitches that are way off the plate anymore.
Is it
just me, or is it?
No, it's not. It's baseball.
It's way off the plate. Catchers have to work really hard nowadays.
And they shouldn't. They shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't be missing your spot. Like, you shouldn't be at this level if you're regular missing your spot by over a foot.
Yeah.
My opinion.
Yeah. We've talked about your name before. Nakia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got some interesting names on the old Premium Post now.
We got Liqueur and Giesenschlag. Yeah. Giesenschlag.
We're that.
Yeah. We just go with Giese. Or Gies, right? Or Bry.
I answer to anything.
Did you ever think anything about, a lot of people ask me, they're like, okay, what's your real name?
Yeah.
Can't be Jim Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, no, it really is. It's James, but did you ever think about going with like Brian Smith? Brian Diamond.
In my...
I like that.
Okay, so to answer that question, I never considered Brian Diamond. No, I didn't that. But in my second TV job, local TV job, in about 1995, a news director did ask me if I would consider...
Really?
...dropping the Giesenschlag to something a little more common.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was in Central Texas, where this television station was, which is Texas is where all of my family is. Texas, that part of Texas, there's German, Czech, everything. It's not as off the charts. And I just told him, I said, no, I don't. I think one, it's recognizable, even if you don't know how to say it or what it is or anything. People see it on the screen and they see 12 letters and they go, oh my gosh, and they. You know, at the time, and I think at any time, you're looking for reasons to be memorable, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
People see my name or they hear my name, and it kind of sticks. They might not be able to say it. Most can't spell it, but it sticks. And so I told him no, but I did tell him, or I told somebody else after the fact, I said, you know, it'd be pretty easy if I ever did actually decide to do that or need to do that. My middle name is Thomas. I would just be Brian Thomas, which...
Brian Thomas Diamond.
Give it the TV voice. Tommy. Yeah. You're dead set on me going with Diamond.
Diamond Bry.
It came up. But the funny thing was, Donald Lutz, all right? German.
The Big Donka.
Yes. Big Donka. Teammate of Sam. Yeah. When he was here, since he grew up in Germany, I couldn't wait, you know, to get to him because, I don't speak German. There's a large German community in Central Texas, but it's, you know, it's kind of faded. But I always knew that the way that we pronounce my last name is technically not correct. It's kind of gotten Texanized over the years, and it's just what people decided they wanted it to sound like. So I went to Donald Lutz when we were first talking, and I showed him my credential, and I just said, hey, man, you know, pronounce this for me correctly. And there was no hesitation. He, just like that, just read it.
What was it?
I think he said Giesenschlag.
That's why I went Giesenschlag.
Well, there's a you know, you would get the schlag, I think, if you were
Giesenschlag, get over here.
Something like that. And so that was good, but no, I mean, listen, I'm a middle-aged bald guy on TV. I think my last name is probably the least of my concerns in a visual medium. You know, you're also not supposed to do, you know, Sadak and I.
Proud bald man.
That's right. Sadak. We bond over the fact
that
this little broadcast team we have has two bald dudes on it. And that's pretty rare.
Yeah. Dan Horde used to be on board as well.
We had the bald guys.
Yeah. That you used to work with. So, all right, Sam, can you spell Giesenschlag?
I think it's G-E-I. Okay, so I knew it was one of the two. Giesenschlag.
Yes!
I knew if I could get past the first two letters, I was good.
Jawohl!
I before E.
I before E, except before after e. G.
What? Something like that. No, all things considered, you know, you always talk about, you know, how lucky you are you always say you have a face for radio or whatever. Yeah. You know, listen, given this medium that we're in most of the time and where it's gone with technology and high definition and all that, the fact that, you know,
we're hanging on.
Yes. Keep going, man.
I cherish it every day.
Right there with you.
I appreciate it. Hey, real quick, the games you got to do. You've been in the booth for select innings, but then you got to do a series with Sadak. How was it?
Awesome. A guy asked me to do like a little questionnaire. He's doing some kind of a newspaper deal this weekend. I can't remember his name, but it was earlier today. And he's like, tell me your best memory as a Red. Tell me your best memory as a broadcaster. I was like, well, a lot like baseball, a lot of those, you know, the shows run together or whatever. And maybe it's because it's fresh or whatever the case may be. But I was like, I had an amazing time in Toronto. It was a stadium I'd never been to, a town I'd never been to, a country I'd never been to. The games were crisp, even though the Reds lost 2-3. It was nice to be back on the road. So there was a lot of things in it other than just the broadcast. But yeah. I certainly wouldn't – I'm not saying that because I enjoyed doing game broadcast better than pre- and post-game show. It was just kind of the whole experience of it to get up there and do that. And kind of, you know, part of it was I felt like I was in the big leagues again, you know, just kind of being on the road and being in the hotel and all that jazz. Arnold Schwarzenegger walked out of the hotel, so I was like, okay, I'm staying. This ain't the Best Western no more. You know, was stuff like that. And Tom Hinkie was a great pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays back mm-hmm. when. He grew up 40 minutes from where I grew up, and we know each other pretty well. So walking through the hallway, saw a picture of him. I loved those 92, 93 teams. So I think just the whole effect of that, but – and because I could have just spoken in a generality about the fact that I like going to work. I like the people I work with. I feel really fortunate in that. There's a lot I've learned about what it takes to put a baseball game on. It's not just flipping a switch and there it goes. There's the, you know, 10 people or 20 people in the truck that are doing it and the communication that has to go into it. So being able to understand the other side of that and understand why when I was a player and I'd get frustrated with, you know, the media being around a lot of times, like in our space, you know, I have a much better understanding for that. Like it's 162 games and you can't just talk about the same thing over and over. It gets pretty stale. So always looking for something new or a different little feature story or, you know, iPad or YouTube or podcast and all these, you know, the different little avenues you have to kind of show a team's, you know, character and who they are underneath the hood. I mean, I think it's a cool thing. Didn't get it as much back then, but I do now. So there's a lot that I still continue to learn, just like with any job I think anybody has. And I've really, you know, enjoyed it. And that's it. I think at the end of the show, if I feel like we had fun, I don't care how much I stumbled on my words or anything like that, or if I said something stupid or I may have messed up a stat. You know, a good show to me is a fun show. And if we can do that, I think, which we do for the most part, I think it comes through the TV, and I think that's why people enjoy watching us.
Yeah. No, it should be fun. There's no question. Now, even though this is going to air after this actual day we're recording, who's the loud guy tonight dressing? Who's loud?
I think we're pretty similar tonight.
Pretty similar?
See, so
real similar.
I have maybe a non-traditional color, but it is really mostly solid.
Yeah.
And that is that you? But we've had to kind of find balance that way too.
Tomorrow we're going to look exactly the same, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, because we're going
polos.
Golf shirts.
We're going golf shirts this next road trip, at least we are. So I'm
we'll be in the studio.
I'm very excited about this.
You should be. Makes packing easier?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Packing is not another story. Another story, but not going to complain. Not going to complain.
Nope.
Glad I'm on the road. Thankful for what I do, so I'm not going to complain about it. But packing sucks. You guys are great. Thank you for the visit. I appreciate it. Nothing but good vibes for you guys and hopefully at some point. Can you give him crap? Can he start? I mean,
hey, I can take it.
We're this many years in. I mean, you give it enough to me, can you dish a little this way? I mean, you know,
but see, he enjoys the pushback, and I'm not, it's not as much in my nature to fight
okay.
I'm kind of a path of least resistance guy.
So not even during commercial breaks you go at it? People want to know what happens during commercial breaks too.
We laugh a lot. We laugh a lot. We may be making fun of people or things.
Oh, there's, hey, if you want to do some good people watching, now come to the set.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Good.
So I think
Reds Country live and well.
We spend most of our time amusing ourselves and then that's it. Then we go back on.
Very good. Well, appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Jay Day.
Good vibes only. You can catch Brian Geisenschlag.
Diamond.
Diamond. Yeah, you can catch
Brian Diamond. Diamond Schlag.
You can catch Brian Diamond. Sam the Cure on Reds Live pre and post on Bally Sports Ohio. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Jim Day podcast, everyone. We would invite you to subscribe, rate, review, spread the word, and all that good jazz. And we'll see you on down the road. See ya. Baseball prison.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.